Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 48. I didn't say the episode number last week. Talk about fucking up on our first podcast at Barstool. But yeah, this is our 48th episode, but probably like 70-something. Yeah, who knows? Numbers are irrelevant. Jeff Lowe alongside Trill Ballins and Ken Jack. What's going on, guys?
Not only did we mess up the episode numbers, we've also had the first episode audio issues as
well.
Yeah,
first time ever. What are the chances when we finally have professional audio equipment?
It's the Skype, man. So we should be sounding better this week. We're back to the old school recording from each of our own little nooks located at our each own corners of the world. It's good to see you guys. What did you guys do last night or today? What did you guys do? Did you go see a movie?
We saw Life of the Party.
Okay.
Let's just say it wasn't quite the party. We did not enjoy it. It was, what did you say? Oh, we said it was a chore. It was like a chore to see it. And I still don't know what I'm going to rate it.
Hey, do you wish you would have seen Book Club instead? Because Book Club looks a lot funnier than Life of the Party.
Yeah,
there's that solid Viagra joke in there.
Yeah,
that's always good for a little laugh from me.
You get Craig to see Nelson. Mr. Incredible have a boner.
Yeah, Craig T. Nelson gets a big hard on. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so audio issues. I know many have pointed it out. We had some audio issues because Hangouts has been really good for us with Trill, so we're gonna try to figure that out. But the Barstool, the people who run the tech there, fucking unreal. I tell you, you see, you know, like Big Cat and PFT, all them, they wear their ass off, public facing, but the people behind the scenes. Ken Jack, damn, man, they fucking, those guys grind. So they'll have it figured out.
We're talking to them and they're like, yeah, dude, I'll stay late. If you guys want to record until like 2 a.m., I'll stay there. I would never do that. They're like so willing to help us with like anything. It's awesome.
Yeah, good people. So they're going to work on that and we'll be good to go. So that's that. This is Sunday. If you're listening for the first time, our Sunday episode drops tonight. So we recorded the day you're listening, if you're listening on Sunday. And it's typically a little more free-flowing. We do news at the top, and then we answer listener questions and some more things. But I think once things, you know, get a little more normalized for Mr. Ballins over there with his kid, we're going to probably do some maybe nostalgic reviews. So, like, you know, old 90s movies and stuff like that. Very, like, loose, but throw some wrinkles in here. But for this week, we have some more followers, new listeners. We got some good questions, so we're going to answer listener questions. But off the top, news. Actually, hold on. Let me say one more thing. I fucked up something, kind of. There were some quotes in the last episode from that character Ronnie from Truth or Dare, which you need to hear them. And somebody asked us, why did you censor the quotes? We didn't. There was a weird audio issue, like that stupid Yanni Laurel thing where some people could hear the audio and some people couldn't. And we're not making that up. Yeah, Mikey, who runs podcasts at Barstool, he could hear it. PFT couldn't. So it was weird. It's all fixed now. So go listen back if you can't hear or didn't hear the top of that podcast with the reviews from Truth or Dare. Okay, news. Leonardo DiCaprio as Ulysses S. Grant, directed by Steven Spielberg. Does that even mildly interest you? That's a potential thing that might happen.
Oh, kind of. If it's got Leo in it, I'm always interested where he could go next. But I don't think I'm as excited as the general population will be. That right there is your boilerplate December release movie, try to get an Oscar type of deal. And it just doesn't do it for me anymore. Now that I'm on a movie podcast, I like stuff that's a little less known. My tastes have evolved. Not that excited for this movie. What about you, Ken Jack?
I don't think I'm really excited for this because the life and times of Ulysses S. Grant aren't that fun. It's just him kind of being like the last general they turn to because every other general kind of like has like this casualty rate of like 10,000 Union soldiers for every one Southern soldier. And they're like, fine, Grant, go do your thing. And he happened to be the one that like kind of won the war. And then after that became like an absolutely despicable drunk and like somehow became president after that. So I don't really know how interesting his story is to be played by one of the like the most premier name actors there are. So I don't know. I'm in between. I'm kind of like you right now.
He's like, you know, I'm Steven Spielberg. I just made Ready Player One. I did a movie about one of the best presidents ever. And now I really want to do a movie about one of the worst presidents ever.
I really have nothing to say about it other than the fact that it just doesn't excite me. I mean, I don't know. It'll be a schmaltzy fucking some sort of like powerful message at the end movie from Steven Spielberg, which I mean, no hate on Steven Spielberg, but I just don't need that from a historical thing. Like, I don't know. I like him dipping back into, you know, the ETs of the world, even Ready Player One, like at least a depth that you can get a little creative and imaginative. I'd rather that from Steven than this.
I wonder if the Andrew Luck, like ye old Civil War Andrew Luck Twitter account will make an appearance here. One of the worst Twitter accounts in history.
No comment. I don't run that Twitter account, guys.
Next up, this is one that I'm really happy we get to talk about early on here in the second edition of Lights Camera Podcast, in our second era, The Dark Universe. We talked a lot about this when we first became a podcast. For those who don't know, The Dark Universe is a cinematic universe from Universal Studios, and it's about the Universal monsters. And it was kicked off initially. It was actually initially kicked off by Dracula Untold with Luke Evans, but people don't quite count that. Like, they don't really count. And so, like, the real official launch was The Mummy with Tom Cruise. Russell Crowe was in it. Yeah, he was Dr. Jekyll. Yeah. And so, yeah, there were going to be a lot of these movies. The Universal Monsters, it's like Phantom of the Opera, Dracula, Frankenstein, Edgar Allan Poe.
Invisible Man.
Yeah, Invisible Man, Mummy, Werewolf, some other things. And the Universal Monsters had a pretty decent chunk of people cast already. Frankenstein was going to be Javier Bardem. Tom Cruise, obviously, was the Mummy. I forget who else. I think Johnny Depp was Invisible Man. Yeah, and then who was it?
Angelina Jolie. Bride of Frankenstein?
Of Frankenstein, Angelina Jolie. So that got canned. Then it was brought back. Then it got canned again. They had a whole, like intro already with the Mummy, but apparently, I mean, this was dead. There was an Instagram where an artist, Robert Vargas, on like the Universal Studios backlot, was saying, I'm meeting with the Dark Universe team, and said like hashtag like monsters in the making or something, or monster things in the works. He said, this thing needs to fucking die already. How does it keep getting brought back to life? Who wants to see these monsters in movies in 2018? And again, I bring it back to the movie It. The original It TV movie had these Universal monsters in it, and that's what Pennywise turned into. And it's so unrelatable for the current times that they took it out of the new It movie. And now, on the other hand, Universal's trying to fucking make these monsters relevant. They're just force-feeding them down people's throats, and they're trying to bring it back.
They're also trying to make a connected cinematic universe of it. And this is where we really started making fun of the term cinematic universe, because just because an IP is owned by the same company, it doesn't mean all the movies have to be connected with all the other characters in it. We don't have to have that. I don't have to have Frankenstein's monster pop up next to the Mummy to high five each other just to like wink, wink, nod, nod. That's in the movie. Nobody wants to see these, and they don't need to be connected. The only good thing this gave us was one of the most awkward photos of all time was that 2017 cast photo that looks like none of them were in the same place for the picture. They're all just kind of photoshopped together. I don't think that was the case, but that's what it looks like.
It was. Some of them were photoshopped in there. Yeah,
they were 100% photoshopped.
Because Russell Crowe, I think Russell Crowe, Bardem, Depp were all wearing suits, and then Tom Cruise was wearing a black t-shirt and jeans. And then there was an actress who I think she played
Sophia Boutella. Is it Boutella? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I think so. I'm trying to remember. I think she played. Did she play the Mummy, the original Mummy Queen. In the Mummy?
Yeah.
Anyway,
But you don't need any more connected universes. They're trying to do it with Universal. They're kind of doing it with childhood games with like Truth or Dare, Battleship, all those other movies we always talk about. We don't need them all to be connected. And for it to be made out of these like old school monsters from like 50s and 30s movies that no one gives a shit about, we don't need it. Pass. That's my official take on Dark Universe. Pass. Keep it.
Connected universes work when people give a shit about the characters. And if you just start off not giving a shit about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, what are you going to do for me? Like, how are you going to make that character actually interesting? I've seen that story multiple times, and at no point have I ever wanted to learn more about that character. So I don't think Russell Crowe is going to put a twist on it that's going to get me to dive real deep down into it.
We have to say it while we're on it. Just got to say the line from Jake Johnson from The Mummy.
Thanks for bringing me back to life, man. Or dude, or whatever it was.
Worst line ever.
Fucking awful movie.
But also, like, can I just add, though, also Dracula Untold, kind of, they told the story in the movie, so it shouldn't be called Dracula Untold. I'm just saying, like, it's Dracula Told. That's what the movie's doing.
Great point. But, like, my thing is, can you see, like, what's the goal of the studios? Is trying to make something relevant. Can you see, like, these kids who are playing with Black Panther toys, Iron Man toys, Guardians of the Galaxy, putting down their toys and picking up like merchandise from Creature of the Black Lagoon or like the Wolf Man? Like, I just
sure can't.
What do they think's gonna happen here? Yeah,
man. Yeah, Captain America is cool, but you know who's really cool? The Invisible Man. The guy who spies on people wearing bandages around his face. They're whatever. Throw away all your Thor toys so I can have a Bride of Frankenstein action figure.
Oh, man. I hope it keeps going, though. Honestly, at this point, it's so funny. I hope the news keeps popping up every once in a while. Dark Universe, not dead yet. Moving on. This news kind of surprised me, and I had things going on in my head about what this could be, like what it would have looked like. Paul Feig tried to buy the rights to Wonder Woman, and it literally almost happened. Like, he almost got the rights to Wonder Woman. Obviously, Patty Jenkins and Warner Brothers made it. But Paul Feig, the director of recently the Ghostbusters, the female Ghostbusters, also Spy, The Heat, and got to give him credit where credit's due, Bridesmaids. Could you imagine Paul Feig doing Wonder Woman? Like, what would he have done? I mean, that's like the one good movie from DC. Like, what would Paul Feig, who is... I think he's funny at times, but man, some of his improv that he puts in his movies are just abysmal.
I don't know what this would be like. I got to give credit to Paul Feig. Bridesmaids in our rankings was one of my top 10 comedies of the last 10 years. And I thought Spy was Spy the good one with Melissa McCarthy. He directed that one as well. Yeah, it was pretty good. And then he also was somewhat involved with a few other movies like Knocked Up and the Judd Apatow movies. So I think he's funny. I like his movies. Jeff, like you're saying, it's too improv heavy. I don't know if I've ever seen him do a serious movie. So that's the question. Would this Wonder Woman have been a serious type movie, or would this have been a comedy Wonder Woman type movie? If it's a comedy Wonder Woman type movie, I don't want to see that.
That's kind of the idea, right? So dark, anything DC so far has been so dark and so dreary and so like just fucking like sad. And Paul Feig, like everything he makes is very funny. Like Freaks and Geeks is funny, The Heat funny, Spy was funny, Bridesmaids was funny, Ghostbusters, say what you want about it, it was just not very good. But everything else is very funny. So to add that sort of element of humor, which you get out of Marvel, which is sort of why people like Marvel movies, is that they leave the theater feeling like, you know, lighthearted. They laughed, they cried, and they it wasn't like a singular monotone emotion feel like every DC movie. I think that would have been decent.
Yeah. You know what? You've changed my Ken Jack. This is the first time you've changed my opinion on something. You were right. DC's just got me so locked into the mindset thinking they all have to be super serious. What if there was a Thor Ragnarok like take on a DC movie?
Would have been great.
Yeah. I don't know. Paul Feig seems nice though. I like him in interviews.
Hey, very pleasant. Our buddy Donnie does. He gave
made him a suit.
Yeah, a Ghostbusters suit because Donnie was an extra in Ghostbusters.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
Ghostbusters really was not that good of a movie.
No, it was aloof and stupid. And obviously, the Wonder Woman impact that it had culturally probably would have been different. But it is funny though, as we wrap this one up, that Wonder Woman 2 is going to feature a character who is known probably most movie wise for her role in a Paul Feig movie, and that is Kristen Wiig.
She dies.
Yeah, she'll be in Wonder Woman 2. Last bit of news, and then we're going to get into some questions. Fast and the Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, The Rock and Jason Statham spinoff from Fast and the Furious. It's apparently going to be a buddy cop or buddy action style movie. Is that what you want from that? Do you want it to be like a buddy thing, or would you rather them have a little adversity go against each other?
I think we've seen that somewhat. Yeah. So I like the buddy style. Let's have them work together, because I think they still will be adversarial. They're kind of opposites. So they'll butt heads a little bit, but they'll butt heads trying to accomplish a shared goal, which always leads to good comedic moments in those buddy cop type movies. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, that they go, I think it'll be funny.
What type of buddy cop movie would you want it to be, though? Because I feel like there's a lot of different subgenres of that. You can have like a Bad Boys. You can have like an End of Watch, like a Men in Black. Like there's a lot of different sort of ways you can go with it. Which type would you want?
I think like closer to Bad Boys. You got one character who's super serious. So I think you're going to have The Rock, who's going to be the super serious Hobbs. And then you're going to have Statham, who is going to bring that dry British wit to the role and be more of the comedy guy.
I don't think I've ever seen Statham be funny.
I think he has it in him. What Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels? I don't know if he was funny in that one, but that was kind of like a dry. Was he in that one?
I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't think that was the name of the movie. But I've never seen him like purposely try to be funny in any way other than like an after effect of whatever his role was. I'm thinking like Italian Job and stuff like that. But I can't think of something where his goal was to be funny.
You're right.
There's a weird theory. I'm going to go off the rails a little bit here. I was listening to our buddies at the Weekly Planet. They did like a fan theories episode where they had people bring in fan theories, which we should probably do at some point. But there was a theory that Han, you know, who died in Tokyo Drift, and they show it in, like, I think Furious 7, the last one with Paul Walker. There's like a fan theory that the seven planned sequels after that all represent the last 7 seconds of Han's life. And that's why they get more and more ridiculous, because he's just like, he's starting to like see these things that are just like crazy, and like eventually they're gonna end up in space and shit. And I kind of like that fan theory. I know it's like ridiculous, but the movies get more and more insane. And I guess that brings me back to the whole point. I just hope this is ridiculous, stupid, insane action fun. That's all I want from this. I want it to be just obnoxious. I want The Rock to pick up a fucking machine gun turret from a helicopter and shoot someone down again, because that's just badass.
Or we touched on that. That's what I want to see out of the next Jurassic Park sequel that's coming after The Fallen Kingdom. Just make it more and more ridiculous. I'd like to see a crossover between Hobbs and Shaw going into the Isla Nebula or whatever it is, where all the dinosaurs are. Isla. I don't know. Look, I'm from Indiana. I don't know how to pronounce things very well. And just give the rock bottom to a raptor. I've used that joke on a podcast before, but since we have new listeners, it's new to some people.
Yeah, we can recycle things now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's actually, now there's one more thing in news. I'm going to bring it up because we have time. Obi-Wan Kenobi, little rumor, very early rumor, maybe not true. I'd probably say it's not true, but it's a hypothetical that makes sense of what the plot would be for the spinoff Obi-Wan movie. Let's just say that it's going to be Ewan McGregor, because I assume it is. But there's a rumor that it could be Obi-Wan, like kind of right after Revenge of the Sith. He's on Tatooine. He's a hermit. And some things happen locally. Would you like that, like a localized story? I know we talked about it before, but as it becomes more real and real, where do you want the Obi-Wan movie? Would that interest you, or do you need something different? Because I personally think Ewan McGregor is a good-looking dude still. He looks really young. He hasn't aged really that much since the prequels. I want him back in the fucking Clone Wars. I want some action here. That all they ever did in prequels was talk about their exciting adventures and like how they owed each other for saving each other's lives, and you never fucking saw those adventures. And the Clone Wars TV series, very good, by the way. Very enjoyable if you like Star Wars. So give it to me in live action. That's all I want there.
I agree with you, Jeff. I have nothing else to add, but why not take the most interesting part and make a movie out of it rather than something that doesn't sound as interesting? That's where I stand on it. Bold stance.
Yeah, I think it definitely has to be Ewan McGregor, and I don't want it to be localized to Tatooine, which is objectively like the worst planet in the Star Wars universe, just like an endless desert. That sounds boring as hell. So maybe he does some stuff between A New Hope and Revenge of the Sith, like if he does some action, maybe like helping people on different planets. I don't want him stuck there. So whether it's Jeff's way or it's the way where they have some stories they didn't tell between those two movies, I just don't want it to be stuck on Tatooine. That's my main point.
Yep, that's fair. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't know. I want to see him do some stuff. Like give him a movie, because he was the best part of the prequels. Well, maybe not by far, because Palpatine was really good too. He was great in those, but Obi-Wan probably was the best McGregor, so he deserves a better movie. Let's move on. Questions. Listener questions. Here's a question I want to answer for sure, because we have some new listeners again. What movies coming out in 2018 are you the most excited for? So most excited movies for the rest of the year. And I can rattle some off. I'll say mine. If you don't know what mine is, it's hands down Damien Chazelle's movie about Neil Armstrong starring Ryan Gosling called First Man. They've said the trailer's unreal. It's like a thriller and like the craziness of landing on the moon. So yeah, I need that trailer ASAP. But that's hands down my number one most anticipated movie this year.
Jeff, this is a good question. Obviously, Incredibles 2 first comes to mind. It's coming out June 15th. Oh, Kinjak owns one DVD, and it's The Incredibles.
Well, so technically, I own more than one DVD, but only one of them is an English-based movie. So that's fair.
First Man, like Jeff said, you got the Gosgod himself and Chazelle back together. And then other than that, I think there's some other things like the smaller movies, maybe like the Can You Ever Forgive Me with Melissa McCarthy. The preview for that looked kind of interesting, where she's like the writer who steals stuff. So not really a writer.
No, I actually think you might be right on that. She's also in a bunch of random movies. She was in no movies last year.
Zero.
Now we just saw her in Life of the Party. Then she's in that one, Can You Ever Forgive Me or whatever, which looks decent, like a good little range for her to do that role. And then she's in the really fucked up Muppets movie. Oh, we didn't even fucking talk about that.
Yeah, we should.
We're getting to that next, the Happy Time Murders. So Melissa McCarthy, yeah, she's in a lot more this year after being in zero movies last year.
I think for me, it's got to be Incredibles 2, obviously number one. Ocean's 8's up there as well. Aquaman, I'm... DC, such a fuck fest, but I mean, whatever. I love Jason Momoa. I'd love to see it to do something. And that movie, our boy Jason Statham, going to be in the Meg fighting a big-ass shark. I'm sort of excited for that.
The National Treasure director's on that one.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm
just... In case you're wondering if that was going to be fun or not, it is. It's going to be fun. That's about it.
It's going to have Zane.
If there was National Treasure 3, National Treasure 3, if that was coming out, that would be hands down my favorite. The Dick Cheney movie comes out this year too, right?
Oh, from Unit, man. Absolutely.
What's the name of that one called?
Oh, I forgot the Dick Cheney movie. Hold on.
That's the one with Adam McKay, right?
Yeah, Adam McKay, yeah. And that's the one with Christian Bale as Dick Cheney.
That's right.
Oh, no, I searched Dick Cheney movie and Dickie Roberts, former child star, came up. Not good.
Oh.
Backseat. It's called Backseat.
I didn't even know the title of that. All I remember were the awesome photos of Christian Bale looking like a unit.
Oh, fucking killer cast, man. Christian Bale as Dick Cheney, Amy Adams as Lynn Cheney, Steve Carell as Donald Rumsfeld, Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush, Bill Pullman as Nelson Rockefeller. Tyler Perry's in it as Colin Powell. Dude, this movie's going to be fucking awesome. Like, no doubt. Adam McKay is money. And so between this and First Man, those are probably the two I'm most excited for this year.
Yeah, I forgot all about that one. You're right. Adam McKay's been on a roll. It's going to be an awesome movie.
Very excited about that. Let's go back to news, though. The Happy Time Murders. This trailer debuted before Deadpool 2, because Ken Jack and I looked at each other when this trailer came on, like, what is this? And, like, we are all over trailers. We see every trailer that comes out right away because we just patrol the feed on Twitter. And I was like, what? Like, how do we miss this? And I'm a Muppets guy. You know, like, this is right up my alley here. And it debuted it during the Deadpool opening night. So it wasn't online until the day after. And it is an R-rated and hard R-rated, like big time, not even like, oh, yeah, it's like I like one or two like F-words in it. No, I mean, that's a fucking R-rated movie. And the trailer is nuts, and I'm not sure it'll be any good. There's a guy at the end, a Muppet at the end, who just blown his load of silly string all over the fucking window at a police station. It's incredibly intense. I'll put it that way. What did you guys think about the Happy Time Murders trailer?
Came from left field. I like these sort of things, though. I don't have a very high standard for what makes me laugh. So if you take puppets and have them do stuff that you wouldn't associate puppets doing, and I think that's pretty funny. I thought Crank Yankers was kind of funny. He's like, there's that puppet. He's not supposed to be swearing. Yeah, he's making crank calls. It's funny.
When you watch this trailer in Deadpool 2, it just did not get a single laugh out of me. Between Muppets generally stinking to me and just like this having Melissa McCarthy, who's been really just on a poor stretch of movies, it's just nothing about this seems appealing to me at all. It seems like they're trying to do Team America World Police in 2018, which is stupid as hell in my opinion. And it just looks very unfunny to me. Like, I'm going to see it for the pod. I'm not going to like it at all.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where if you don't like the Muppets, you're just not going to like this movie. If you can't do the whole puppet slash being with humans thing, then you're not going to like it. I'm fucking amped for it.
See, I bet it's Muppets. It's people fucking puppets. We know Jeff's involved in this.
No, it's puppets fucking puppets. Let's be real.
The puppet does offer to suck Melissa McCarthy's dick like 5 seconds into the trailer.
That's true. There's probably a less than 25% chance this is funny. So I'll give you that, Ken Jack, because it seems as though most of the good jokes were in the Red Band trailer. Like one of those movies where you get the sense there's not much more left. But I'm excited to see it. Like at least it's something a little different. Like throw me a little bit of a curveball here. So it was very shocking, though. I will say that. Not like I was offended and wanted to walk out, but obviously when you go to a movie theater nowadays, if you're like up on trailers, you don't really ever see a trailer you've never seen. So to see that for the first time in a theater, one, I kind of missed that, you know, it's like fun to see a trailer for the first time in a theater, but two, it's just like, wow, that was a lot. That was a lot to take in.
Jeff, do you know who's directing this movie?
Who?
A man by the name of Brian Henson. Do you know who his dad was?
I feel like this is a setup to say not Jim Henson.
No, his dad was Jim Henson. This is Jim Henson's son doing Happy Time Murders.
Jim Henson's in his grave fucking banging on the door to get out to beat the shit out of his son.
I think he's fine with it as long as he doesn't use the actual Muppet puppets.
So that does make sense to an extent because the puppets are clearly Muppets. Like they have that exact look.
Oh, they look like Muppets, but they're not. Yeah. They're not actually like characters you know of.
No. Yeah. But the tagline is "No Sesame, All Street," which I did like that. That is... That's pretty good.
If this podcast takes off, how cool would it be to get Muppet puppets commissioned of us? I bet I bet they can make some really good looking. Like, I mean, for me, you could already use Bert.
I thought you'd want Gonzo for that nose.
The nose.
What else would you want from Gonzo facially?
I would like Muppets of Us. That would be pretty fun. There's a lot we could do there. The FAO Schwartz in New York used to allow you to make Muppets like that, but that shit closed down a long time ago, so it doesn't really exist anymore.
Is that the one with the keyboard from Big?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It does not exist. It got gutted and taken away. It's right by the Apple stores there now, or like near it.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. I was like, what's in there? Fucking Microsoft store?
Yeah. Just technology. 2018.
Showroom.
It's a Tesla showroom. All right, next question. This is one that we haven't really answered much because we don't really talk about older movies. But what is the best pre-1970 movie in your opinion? Best pre-1970 movie. Not easy. Again, if you've never listened to our Potter's, your second episode, we do not like older movies for the most part. We're newer movie guys. It's the old mixtape thing. Why would you watch old basketball player highlights when you could watch new players who are just much better? Much more polished.
I wonder what Trill's is. I know mine.
What's yours?
Oh, go ahead. I'm trying to think.
Mine's either going to be... It's a tough race between Bullet and Great Escape because I'm a big Steve McQueen guy, but it's going to be Great Escape. Such a fun movie and pretty star-studded.
I don't know if I can make a pick because honestly, I can't name any things that I really enjoy off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
I'm going It's a Wonderful Life. That's my favorite at least.
See, but though if I would have made that pick, I would feel like I couldn't back that up because I don't like that movie that much.
Oh, okay. Well,
it'd be like by default, like one of the few movies I've seen pre-1960 that I'd be naming, but I can't defend why I like it.
I respect it. If you can't answer, you can't answer. That holds up to your brand. Your brand in this pod is you don't like older movies. So completely fine.
Is Dirty Dozen pre-1970? That's a good question. Oh, I got to look that up.
The whole joke was that when I started the podcast with you guys, I was the guy who had seen like 7 movies in the last 5 years. So I would be the non-movie guy. So I feel like I'm going to get criticized for this, and I think that's fair. But I'm just saying, like, this is my brand. So maybe if you're on the Reddit, go a little easy on me this week. I have a kid. Yeah.
Careful.
As a dad.
Don't yell
as a dad. I don't have a lot of time to watch these old movies like these young guys on this podcast.
All millennials just sit back and watch Spartacus and Casablanca on repeat these days. They don't go and see the newfangled superhero movies.
They just jewel and watch Spartacus all day. rip a jewel.
Next question. Would you rather be Will Smith in I Am Legend or John Krasinski in A Quiet Place? Will Smith and I Am Legend or John Krasinski in A Quiet Place?
I Am Legend.
Yeah, so right?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, though, because he doesn't even have a family. He just has a dog. See, that's tough.
Is really the question here.
I initially said Will Smith, but I'm thinking about it because I'm like, you could do whatever you want during day. You could take that Mustang down Broadway in New York City and do donuts. But how fun would that be if the only companionship you had was a dog? But then in A Quiet Place, you'd be worried about getting killed all the time. You know what? I'm sticking with Will Smith. I would like to be able to take a poop without thinking I'm going to get killed.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Also, there is sex in A Quiet Place. I mean, she doesn't get pregnant.
But I would also be worrying.
In Will Smith's universe, you have no sex. But in
Krasinski's
universe, you do.
I don't know, man. He's got that video store with the mannequins. You don't know.
It's true. There's got to be a sex shop still around in New York. Will Smith.
That scene where the
looks at his pocket pussy. He's like
the vampire zombies. I'm just gonna talk over you. That should be a good clip because you just started saying really fucked up things when I was.
What about Will Smith fucking a fleshlight in zombie apocalypse? Do you think, here's the thing. So like, if you were left alone with nothing but your thoughts in the I Am Legend universe, how deeply do you think he goes from being in the porno store and just getting conventional hardcore porn to like really going into the, like the hardcore fetish stuff?
Oh dude, he's down at like, he's crossing the river to New Jersey and he's manufacturing his own toys by like week eight. He just has his own mold, his own silicone mold there.
I'm just thinking of him with like a doll like Wilson in fucking Castaway.
he's just producing, he's got a whole conveyor boy bay of sex toys running. He's got constantly.
Like a, he has like a terracotta army of sex dolls waiting for him in his apartment.
Oh gosh. No.
Oh boy!
Okay. What did you give an answer, Jeff? Did you say Will Smith too?
Yeah, the Will Smith one makes most sense. I don't think that's too debatable.
I think you'd be worrying about your family dying all the time too. Is that? I don't know.
Yeah, like with Will Smith, you can just kind of say fuck it and go for it. You can kind of do whatever the fuck you want. Like,
if you transported me to that universe, would I have the pain of Will Smith? Would I have also lost my loved ones, or would I just be in a scenario? Without any bag. Well, I guess I would by default because they wouldn't be there.
Yeah, it says, would you be Will Smith? Not in the universe. Be them.
Yeah, probably would rather do that. I don't know. It sounds bad, but what kind of existence is existence if you can't do 90 miles an hour down New York City, go into your sex toy factory in Hoboken?
Next question. I like this question. What movie deserves a sequel the most? Ooh. What movie that doesn't have a sequel deserves a sequel? And let's go with like originals. So not like National Treasure. Actually, National Treasure 3 is a pretty good answer. But no, let's go with like movies that were just one-off movies. Which one
I would love to see a sequel to District 9.
That was gonna be my fucking answer. That was my answer.
I think that was Neil Blomkamp's thing. I think that was his passion project. I'd love to see him go back to that world in District 9, but I think there's more story to be told there.
Instead, they made that dollar store version of District 9 in Chappie.
And Elysium, really.
Yeah. I remember like seeing the District 9 previews at first, and I'm like, is this the fucking Halo movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like this is such a hard question, man.
I have to go Inception. My backup pick was Inception. I want to see the Inception universe or like the Inception, like how that all happens more. Like one isn't enough for me. It's so intriguing. There's so much you can do with that. And it's Nolan. I'd love to see something else with Inception. But I mean that I could see a District 9 sequel. Inception, there's no way there's going to be a sequel for that movie.
I don't feel like you could do an Inception sequel.
Probably not, no. But based on who's in it, too, I don't see it happening.
Dunkirk 2. We all want to know how it ends. I don't know. I'm going to steal your pick, Jeff, and say Inception. It's like either – both those picks are so good. I can't think of one good enough for it.
Yeah, then other movies that have sequels and you need more sequels. I mean, that's where you start going into – for me, I want another Ocean's movie. I guess Ocean's 8 is going to kind of be that. National Treasure 3 for sure. And I'm not saying the first two National Treasures are any good, but they make a big fucking tease at the end of National Treasure 2. He gets the Book of Secrets, and then you don't actually get to know the Book of Secrets.
You don't know what the secrets are.
Yeah.
I want to know the secrets.
I would like that.
Yeah. I got an unpopular answer for you. I don't think people will like this one very much. Shoot. A sequel to Office Space.
Not the worst.
That basically be Silicon Valley?
Well, he's the construction worker at the end of it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like taking it 25, I mean, it's been like 25 years to catch up with the characters and then put them into like 2018 office environments.
So you're going to put them back in an office after being out of it?
Yeah, just have some plot device that gets Peter back into the office.
I'm going to say no to you right there.
Yeah, ooh, that's what I'm thinking. I think on the surface it sounds good, but I think once you go a foot deep, it's not a good idea. And Silicon Valley is so much better than anything you could do with that anyway. Mike Judge is a genius.
Kiss my piss.
The finale was just a little disappointing. A little disappointing. I like this one. Would you rather watch a live action remake of the Emoji Movie starring the cast of Ocean's 11? Or watch an animated remake of Ocean's 11 starring the cast of the Emoji Movie.
Live action Emoji Movie starring the cast of Ocean's 11. Who wouldn't want to see like George Clooney as Gene the Met Emoji?
So in the other option, does TJ Miller play George Clooney?
I mean, I guess because it's the main character transition. Yeah.
Oh.
I think you could cast it however you want, Ken Jack. I'm going to give you free reign to do that.
Who would you make Danny Ocean?
What's the alternative? James Corden is Danny Ocean? Oh, God.
Yeah, you can do that if you wanted to. If you really wanted to. Although I think he's more the Matt Damon character. But
Tess, I really love you, Tess. I really love you. I promise. He never says that in the movie. That's an ad-libbed line right there, courtesy of me. I'm going with the first option, too.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't think the voice cast would do it justice for the Ocean's 11 animated version. Just don't think that really has it. The Emoji Movie live action would be such a disaster that it'd be kind of worth seeing. Oh, here's another would you rather. Would you rather lay in the grandfather's bed from Willy Wonka for eternity now let's not say eternity. Would you rather lay in the grandfather's bed from Willy Wonka for 6 hours straight? Or sit in a room with James Cameron as he tells you why superhero films are bad for the movie industry for 6 hours straight. But you can't say anything the entire time. So sit in that most likely nasty-ass bed or listen to James Cameron blab on about why superhero movies aren't good for the movie industry.
How nasty is that bed?
It's got to be fucking disgusting. I mean, there is – you know the sheets are brown. The sheets are brown and they were bought white. You know that.
Wait, do you have to? Well, you're in the bed. Are three of the other grandparents in it? Like, are you just taking the grandpa's spot while the other three are there?
Yeah. Well, let's say yes. You are in Grandpa Joe's spot. He's off at the chocolate factory with Charlie. You know, eating gobstoppers.
Keeping it warm.
Yeah, and you're keeping that already warm bed warm for Grandpa Joe or James Cameron blabbing on about the superhero movies being bad for the film industry, and you know he's dropping Avatar references left and right.
Do I get to talk to James Cameron? Like,
no.
Debate with him?
No.
Or do I just to listen to him?
Yeah, just listen. You can't say a fucking word. And he's going to go on for 6 straight hours. But again, you might be sitting in human feces.
Yeah, look, there's nothing against the Willy Wonka bed. If you were saying that was a clean bed, then I'd obviously take that one. But if anything, as you know, if you've listened to this podcast, anything that has a chance with smelling other people's poop or basically laying in it, I'm not doing that. So I'll sit there and listen to old Jim Cameron talk about the Marianas Trench a little more and Avatar 4 and 5 and how that segs into his planned rides at Universal Studios, Disney Sea or whatever they got coming up. I don't know.
So I think I would definitely not pick the poo poo pee pee old people bed at all. I would pick James Cameron. I can sit there in 6 hours and listen to James Cameron blab. I listen to 2 hours a week of trill blabbing. So I mean, who's to say I can't handle that?
Got him.
Want some ice for that burn, trill?
Yeah, I'm going with the James Cameron. That bed has got to be fucking disgusting. It's got to be nasty. That whole house.
So you're taking the place of one grandparent couple too. So do the other two grandparent couple, like, do they fuck while you're there? They're all in the same bed.
Oh, God, dude.
Do they even fuck? They haven't walked in like 20 years.
Well, they're obviously all assholes and like faking like the inability to do anything, because Grandpa Joe gets up and like does a fucking song and dance when he finds out he's going to get chocolate. So those pair of grandparents are definitely fucking.
I mean, beyond that, he hasn't gotten up and walked in a decade. They're all pissing and shitting in that bed. Like, I mean, it's not even like, I wonder if they crap in there. They do. They haven't moved in a decade. Like, they're shitting in the bed.
You don't know that. They could be using pots. Like,
it's like a kind of German porno.
Dropping it off from the side and Charlie's catching it in a brass pot.
No, but like, that means saying, that they have, like, you think they have perfect poop placement for 10 years? Like, there's got to be a couple fuck ups here and there.
No, it's all dribbling.
Absolutely.
Too.
That bed's definitely gross. If the sheets are dirty, like you're saying, it's a gross bed.
There's no way they have solid turd structure. It's definitely like pure diarrhea.
Oh,
all
shut
the time.
The fuck
like,
up.
Like dysentery. Like just and Charlie has to take like wipes. No, fuck. They don't have wet wipes or whatever back then. So he has like the poop rag. And
no,
just, like,
dude, stop this.
Butt with the poop rag.
Stop this. Stop this. Stop talking.
You don't like the idea of grandparents fucking in a bed of shit and piss?
No, I don't. I don't. This question is something that should have been simple has now branched into something that I'm highly uncomfortable with talking about.
Grandpa Joe getting the suck.
Oh, man.
It's the new marketing for Gobstoppers. If somebody was smart.
Charlie, be all that. Go get me some dong bags down the street.
He couldn't get the chocolate bar because he's buying Grandpa Joe condoms. Everybody just face the walls of the house. don't watch.
Don't look me in the eyes, God. Charlie.
Do you think Willy Wonka ever fucked?
He had to have, dude.
Oh, really?
No.
He probably thought of all of his ideas like right after release, like that grace period or whatever, post-cum. Like that's where all of his candy ideas definitely
came refractory from. Period. Let's
exactly.
Use proper terminology.
Yeah, his Nirvana or whatever. That's where he thought of like Godstoppers and all those cool candies. It's like right after post-cum.
No, I don't know, man.
Willie was a good-looking dude, though. I think maybe he got driven into chocolate because of heartbreak or something. So I'm sure he...
Yeah, you might be right.
To get it back in the day, I'm sure.
He definitely has enough confidence.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. He's got fucking charisma. You know, if you're hitting on the same girl as him at the bar, you're fucked. It's over. I mean, that dude's going to win out every time.
He's already got that mystery method hat.
Yep. Great singer.
Chocolate.
All right. Moving on from Grandpa Joe shit in the bed. This is not even a question, but someone made this comment, so we're going to have to address it. This person says, Interstellar is the greatest movie ever created. Not a question, just a fact. Are we going to roast this person?
Just no.
It's not the greatest movie ever created. Come on. That's ridiculous, man.
It's not even like the greatest movie of that year.
You don't think that, man. I know you don't think that.
That movie's about an hour too long.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even a great movie. I'm just going to say it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I don't lie. I don't love Interstellar.
It's near Christopher Nolan's bottom of his best movies list, of all his movies list.
It's not
one of his worst movies.
It's not even the best movie that year, dude. Gone Girl, Guardians, Edge of Tomorrow, Lego Movie, Nightcrawler, Godzilla kind of sucked. Birdman. I'd even say X-Men Days of Futures Past was probably
better. Yeah, you named a lot of movies that I would consider wildly better than Interstellar.
John Wick, American Sniper, like the list goes on.
That was a good year. Was it 2014?
Yeah. Interstellar was very well put together, imaginative, sounded amazing, amazing score, looked great, but I don't totally get the hype on that movie.
The Matt Damon cameo is dope.
Yeah, that's true. I like The Martian better than I like Interstellar, which definitely. People who like the book will tell me that I'm a lunatic. People who love The Martian book hate that movie, I think.
Let me do this real quick. Rank your top three Matt Damon cameos, okay? Interstellar, Thor Ragnarok, or Eurotrip.
There's one more cameo of in a movie that we have not reviewed yet that we can't.
Okay, what is it? Can we say?
No. Well, yes. Can we, Jeff? I don't really know.
No.
He was in Deadpool 2.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, it was him and Alan Tudyk.
Wait.
We're the two hillbillies. I looked it up.
Oh, he was the other hillbilly?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the other Ocean's 11 character who cameos in Deadpool 2.
Oh.
There's another one.
Really? Oh, well, yeah. No, but Alan Tudyk and Matt Damon.
No, I will say the best cameo, I think, is Thor.
No, it's Eurotrip.
Really?
Yeah.
It has a whole song. Too. Scotty exactly. doesn't know.
Yeah,
Scotty
okay,
doesn't that's... know. I mean, he has a song. And so many people did not know that it was Matt Damon. But that's also the same thing.
The Thor one was shocking, though.
I didn't know it was him in Ragnarok. Remember you guys had to tell me that on the pod?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention during it. And you guys are like, yeah, I love Matt Damon's cameo. I'm like, was his before or after Sam Neill? And I'm like, they're like, same time, dude. Like, shit.
Yeah, I'd go Eurotrip, Ragnarok, and then Interstellar. Just because that wasn't a fun cameo. That was a very depressing cameo.
Extremely.
He really fucked him over. Anytime you mess with my boy McConaughey like that, you're going to have an issue with me.
He kind of did what the girl did at the end of Truth or Dare, which is like fuck up everybody for the sake of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
A little tie back to last episode for you.
Okay.
What, Interstellar?
Oh, no, Interstellar. No, I'm talking about Truth or Dare.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, you know what? Hey, here on this podcast, you can like whatever you want. If that's your favorite, that's why movies are fun. Subjective. Would you rather get punched? Here's another fucking James Cameron one. Would you rather get punched in the face by Chris Pratt or have to sit through 1 hour of James Cameron lecturing you about the ocean and all its wonders? So 1 hour lecture with James Cameron or have Chris Pratt punch you in the face one time?
Dude, would he be punching at full strength?
Current Chris Pratt punch. Just like one good punch.
I'd pay money for that.
That's teeth.
Yeah. Where would Chris Pratt punch you in the face if he had the chance? Where do you think? He'd be nice. He'd do it in a spot that would be the least, that had the least amount of repercussions, I imagine.
What the fuck? Wait, what's the best place to get punched in the face? I'm sure there is. I just don't know. Is it, it's not in the nose. It has to be like on the side.
Yeah, side of the face.
I'd pay solid money for him to dislocate my jaw and not with his fist.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I'd probably rather listen to James Cameron talk about stuff than have my teeth knocked out. I'm just might be biased towards my teeth here, but that's the way I'm going to go there. Joking answer is it kind of would be fun to have a story that I could tell people to say that Chris Pratt punched me in the face. Even bigger plus is I feel like he'd be one of those guys who would punch you in the face and you would say, I'm done. And then you would say, I'm glad we settled it. We settled it like gentlemen. Let's go grab a beer, you know? So maybe you become friends with Chris Pratt out of this scenario.
Yeah, it's a good point. Trill, just with, oh, man, great analysis of a crazy situation.
Dad all wisdom right, here. Have,
yep, that's true. Papa wisdom. We got a few more minutes, so let's get a couple more in. This is a good one for us. This is a really good question. If one fast food chain could partner with a theater and serve in concessions, which one do you think would be the best? We'll just say personal preference. Personal preference. It's a tough one. What would line up best for a movie theater? Because there are some chains that I like that I would definitely not want in a theater. Like
Whataburger would be way too messy for a theater, Jeff.
Yes.
Because you got to get that Whataburger ketchup on everything.
The wrapper, yeah, the little ketchup packs they have that you dip in. Too much. Too much. I think Chick-fil-A might be one to put up there because of the nuggets. Anything with good nuggets would be a good pick.
Are we factoring in like price? Are they going to get priced up for the theater?
No, don't factor in price. Just factor in like what would fit best. Like the best.
I feel like Chick-fil-A. I feel like with the Chick-fil-A sandwich, you get that foil wrapper and you can eat it out of the foil wrapper and close it up without making a mess. But I feel like any other fast food stuff, you have like lettuce flying out, you got tomatoes sliding out, you got like a Big Mac and you got a mayo mixed with pickles just dropping into your crotch as you're trying to watch a movie. It'd be too big of a mess. But Chick-fil-A, I feel like you could eat really cleanly.
Yeah, also Popeyes, all those chicken chains, Popeyes, Bojangles, all those places would probably be pretty good.
I'd have Wendy's on there.
Yeah. What would you get from Wendy's? Yeah. Like if you go into a movie theater and order your, do you get a 4 for $4 times four?
No, I'll get like even their Wendy's spicy nuggets, very, very good and underrated. Frosty's obviously very good, and I think most of their like dollar menu is pretty exceptional. They're like junior bacon cheeseburger is awesome.
Ooh, Frosty and Nuggets would be a good little treat there for the theater.
It's got legs.
Someone asked why I buy so many movie tickets at once, because they must have seen our Instagram today when Ken Jack and I saw Life of the Party. AMC printed out 15 tickets. That's because if you buy tickets in advance, AMC prints them out every fucking time you go before you see the movie. And we're seeing Solo this week, and we bought 4 tickets, and so it printed out 15 different tickets. So that's the answer to that one. People really want to know how long we've been in talks with Barstool, which is pretty funny because somebody actually approached me at MSG when I was at the Big East tournament, and PFT was there, and him and I chatted a little bit, and somebody came up and said to me like, "Hey, like love the pod," to PFT, and said, "Same to you, man." And I'm like, "What? Okay, this guy thinks I'm Big Cat. I'm not like nowhere near. I mean, like, you know, he's a completely different person than me. I don't think we look alike at all." And then the guy posted on our Reddit and said, "I actually knew this was going to happen. I saw you and PFT talking at MSG during the Big East tournament." I was like, "Oh wow, that's been a little while." That's why we've been saying have patience for a while. When is merch going to be up there? I don't know about our merch in the Barstool store yet. That remains to be seen. Not totally sure on that one. What else? We have a great blog coming out on Monday. So if you're listening on Sunday tomorrow, if you're listening on Monday today, has to do with Pardon My Take and Grit Week. It's movie related. It's going to be a fun read. Other than that, I think that's all we got. Oh no, one more question. People want to know, and since I guess we work for Barstool Sports, we should answer this. Who are your sports rooting interests? They want to know who we all root for sports team-wise. So, Troy, why don't you start it out?
Pretty much just the Indianapolis Colts and the Indiana Hoosiers.
Simple.
If I had to pick a baseball team, I'd probably pick the Texas Rangers. If I had to pick a basketball team, I'd probably go with the Indiana Pacers. But the only two ones I really care about are the Colts and the Hoosiers.
Yeah, that's what I figured your answer would be. For sure. All right, Ken Jack.
Yeah, for me, I mentioned this on mixtape before. So when I was growing up, my parents didn't watch anything really but baseball. So they're Yankees fans. So by default, a Yankees fan. They didn't watch anything else, literally nothing else. So by the time I was getting into sports, it was like low 2000s, mid 2000s. And every New York sports team kind of pretty much sucked outside of the Yankees. So I latched myself onto LT because that was when he was on the Chargers and it was amazing. Game of Chargers fan. That sucks. Lashed myself on to also just the 7 seconds or less Suns because I love Steve Nash, love Stoudemire, love that entire roster. That has also sucked since. And I don't really watch hockey enough to say I'm like a fan of any team, but I guess like I've rooted for the Rangers in the past. But yeah, that's it. Chargers, Suns, Yankees, and possibly Rangers. I'm open for debate on that. I might raffle off my fandom for hockey.
Okay. Mine is a little over the map. My dad's from Ohio. From Cleveland, so I'm a Cleveland Browns, Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Cavs fan. I grew up in Connecticut for the first half of my life, so I'm a UConn basketball fan. And I lost my hockey team when I was 6, so I shunned hockey my whole life until 2 years ago when I decided I was going to be a Vegas Golden Knights fan. And now they're in the fucking Stanley Cup. So
dumb question. Well, was that the Whalers?
Yeah, the Whalers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I like Midwest, Vegas.
Midwest yeah. guy in here.
My friend and I were in Vegas, got some merch. We're like, oh, fuck, let's be Vegas fans. That worked out well in the first year. And then I went to Penn State, so I'm a Penn State football fan. I didn't pick up basketball. I'm too much diehard of a UConn basketball fan. So there are the answers there.
I feel like that's fair with Penn State basketball. So you're not obligated. If you go to a basketball school, you're not obligated to root for the football team and vice versa.
It's a bonus. For sure. I think a lot of people that I know that went to Penn State kept their basketball teams. Like Phil rooted for Nova, like some of our Duke fans, UNC. Like actually a lot of my friends went to Penn State. Like they still root for their other teams. So yeah, that's just how it goes. Okay, that's been the podcast. Sunday episode, first episode here under the old BSS umbrella. Thanks again to PFT for starting this out for us. Good luck to him and the rest of Pardon My Take guys this week. They're on the road. And we have some cool stuff coming this week. Maybe YouTube reviews. We got to figure out the logistics on that. And once we get that going, you'll have me reviewing every movie. But got some more fun stuff coming from the Lights, Camera, Barstool brand. Some fun videos. Ken Jack's got a pretty fun video I think we're going to be doing in Times Square this week related to Solo. Hope it goes over well.
He's dressing up as Elmo. Trying to hug people.
It's going to be Elmo. Yeah, very Solo related. Anything else, guys, as we wrap this up?
No, man. I'm excited to go into our first technically full week of Barstool. It's the funniest thing. Well, me and Jeff have been there. We keep telling people, like, yeah, next week is our first week going there, like, every single day. Meanwhile, we were there every single day for, like, the last yeah. week.
And I continue to go to my desk job and raise a child. So I'll be joining twice a week on this. You guys keep living it up, you know? I want to see you guys do well. You're like my, you're my proteges, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. We have like 30 seconds left. So I just want to note that the hardest thing about working at Barstool so far has been not getting the free snacks.
Oh, I folded so hard on that.
Ken Jack had many bags of buffalo chicken cheese Cheetos or whatever the fuck they are. Cheese puffs.
Yeah, they have these buffalo chicken Cheetos. And like, I didn't eat anything all day. So I just ate like, I'm like, all right, I'll eat three bags of buffalo chicken Cheetos and just fucking house them. And then I'm like, all right, that's like a healthy way to live. It is not. I'm not going to eat any snacks this week. Book it.
You did have one bag. And then somebody tweeted you and I that we were the stockiest looking people he's ever seen. And you immediately got up from your desk and you threw away the cheese puffs.
They're like, Jeff and Chan Jack are the stockiest motherfuckers I've ever seen. And I'm like, God damn, dude.
He's stuffing his face with these buffalo chicken cheese puffs.
I was like scrolling up with my thumb covered in like Cheeto grease. And I'm like, oh, this guy called me stocky. Fuck you. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Like,
that's one thing you need to know. The big time movie boys are very sensitive.
Yes.
Your comments will tear us apart. So just be really careful.
Yeah. So that's it. Also, one very quickly, last thing, we are not changing the show. This, we continue to get this question, like, who are we adding? Are we adding anybody? No, it's not. It's the three of us. Same shit as always. PFT is just helping out. So boom, end of that. No more discussion on that. Not a topic of discussion. No more Reddit threads. Just the three of us, three big time movie boys. That's it. For Troll Ballins and Ken Jack, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll be reviewing Deadpool 2 on Thursday morning. Tony, working on the factory floor, making chocolate Rolos for the kids to buy at the store. And when he's gotten through the day, the children gather around and say, some more of those Rolos.